Praise the Lord. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you'll turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. You know, last Sunday I began teaching or began preaching a little bit, and I started something that the Lord had dropped into my spirit. I'm going to take my coat off. It's all right. I'm getting a little hot. And something the Lord had dropped into my spirit. You know, I was watching television a couple of weeks ago, and I was watching the History Channel, and it was a channel about the 70s, but it was about technology, and it was about technology and how technology has changed our culture, and it went through the history over the last 20 to 30 years, just how much small inventions of technology has changed our lives. And matter of fact, some of the devices that we have today, such as GPS and our phones, some of those things that we have, came out of the technology revolution of the 70s and the 80s, and then was perfected in the 90s. Matter of fact, cell phones, those kind of things, all began by technology beginning with small little inventions that would go into things like, do y'all remember the little box that you could speak into, and it would tell you as a kid, your kid, if you could spell right. So it would say a word, and then your child would speak into it, and then it would tell your child that was right. They spelled it right. I forget what it was called, Leap something. It was called Leap what? Leapfrog? Something like that. Anyway, it was, but what it did was they took some of the technology from that, and they began to advance it into what now is, GPS systems in our phone. But what happened is that once those things had been created and once those things had been invented, all of a sudden the technology of it began to move quickly and advance. And so it was an incredible advancement. In other words, because of the tool or because of the invention or the idea, all of a sudden society began to advance at much rapid pace. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us in the book of Daniel chapter 9 that wisdom shall increase and continue to increase. And in other words, even though man's wisdom will increase in the last days, that it'll continue, that knowledge will get stronger and stronger and will get wiser and wiser. It's amazing how much technology we have in medicine today, but yet I think we're as sick as we've ever been spiritually and sometimes even physically. So it's not a matter of the technology. But it was amazing to me. I began to watch it. And then there was a word that they used. And the guy from IBM, it wasn't the main guy, but it was a guy who was ahead of his technology and development. He kept using this word quantum. And he kept saying quantum. He kept saying that when this was invented, it began an incredible quantum leap. And so he talked about the things that were involved in a quantum leap to happen in technology. And the first thing that he said that needed to happen, first of all, I got to look into that, and I looked the definition of quantum up because I just was wondering. And there's all kinds of technological answers, but just for the sake, I'm just going to use the layman term because that's what I understand. Some of you are probably smarter than I and could get the scientific definition, but I'm just going to give you the layman's definition because that's the level of my understanding this morning. And it's an abrupt transition of an electron, atom, and molecule from one quantum state to another with the abruption or the emission of a quantum. In other words, it goes from point A to point B, and it bypasses a process. And so what would happen is that it would go from point A to point... And what they say that when energy would be at its height, it's the height of energy is what produces quantum. In other words, quantum can advance from point A to point B because the energy levels get so high, it literally skips the process and takes it into another level. And I got to thinking about that, and he began to name some of the things that are important or that are part of a quantum leap, the things that you have to have in order to have a quantum leap. And the first thing he mentioned was there's an invention or a tool that makes things easier. If you're in business this morning and you have a business or you own a company or If you have lived a long number of years, you know that when something is invented that helps something progress, all of a sudden it speeds up. And it's kind of like a tool or something that helps the quantum take place. In other words, instead of taking the time of the process to do something, all of a sudden, now that it's invented, it takes much lesser time. I know all the farmers that are in here are pretty glad of some of the inventions that have come over the years to help you harvest. Because some of those inventions have, those tools, you could say, have given you the quantum leaps in your industry. And then I got to thinking about how that's the same way in the Spirit. That God allows quantum leaps in the Spirit. And I got to look into 2 Corinthians, and I began to look at this verse of Scripture in chapter 2 and beginning in verse 6. Let's read it together. It says, "However we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of the age, nor the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, ordained before the ages of our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye have not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man, which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things which God of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of this world, praise God, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with the spiritual." Verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 15, "But he who is spiritual judges all things." Let me say that again. "He who is spiritual judges all things. Yet he himself is rightly judged by no one." In this verse of Scripture, it is interesting because here we talk about the power of the Spirit of God in our life. One of the things he said that would help bring quantum was that a tool of an invention. He said another thing is a revelation or an insight into something. That you could have an insight or a revelation of something, and it helps bring a quantum leap in industry or anywhere. And I got to thinking about, what are tools that God has given us that allows to bring quantum leaps in our life? What is a quantum leap spiritually? Well, quantum leap spiritually is when God invades your situation. And what would normally be a process or normally take time, God can do it through His Spirit, and just like that, in just a moment. He can change in circumstance. He can change in atmosphere. He can change your situation just like that. It is a quantum leap when the Spirit of God can touch something. All of a sudden, the process that it would normally take is gone, and the Spirit of God can do it. You can do it. Prayer can give you a quantum leap. An understanding of the Word of God can give you a quantum leap. A faith promise could bring a quantum leap into your life. A revelation of God's Word, a revelation of who God is, can take you from one situation one day and move you to a place to where you have breakthrough the next day. Because you have a revelation of who God is and what God is. There was a quantum leap in my life when I got saved. Old things passed away and all things become new. When I realized that Jesus Christ was the answer for my life. It was a quantum leap. And it was a revelation that I had. He says that sometimes it's an assignment. In other words, there's this assignment that, or a change or a feel that takes place, an assignment that takes place in your life that you were hoping for or wishing for. It takes place. And when that assignment comes, all of a sudden, it's like stepping into the destiny of your life. And when you get there, you feel like you've stepped into a quantum leap, or you've gone from one place, you were one thing one day, and all of a sudden the next day you're something else. And because a door opened up for you, a change had came, or the dream that you had to do something, all of a sudden that door opened up for you. And what you were hoping for that you thought would take process and education and time and much more prayer, all of a sudden you get a phone call one day and the door opens for you and you're like, where'd that come from? It's the Spirit of God moving and working in your life, and it brought it to your doorstep. It was a quantum leap. What you thought would take forever, now God brings into your life in a moment. Praying for healing, waiting for God to move in your situation, move in your life in a certain way, and all of a sudden you wake up one day and you're sick and you need healing in your body, and you've walked a certain way for a long period, and you've prayed and you've had this process, but all of a sudden you get into the presence of God, and all of a sudden something happens in your life, a quantum takes place, and what used to be a hindrance in your life and what used to be a deterrent in your life, all of a sudden now God brings healing into your life, and there's a sudden change, an abrupt change in your life. It is a quantum leap in the Spirit, and it's God taking you from one place. It's a sudden significant advance in your life. It's what God wants to do, but He does not have a reference point for it. And the Bible tells us here that it is only revealed by the Spirit. What can know the spirit of a man but God and the Spirit? The Bible says, for the natural man does not understand spiritual things, nor can he understand them. And the Bible says, eye have not seen, ear have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for him. But then it goes on to say, but God reveals those things through His Spirit. And so suddenly a revelation comes. You couldn't see it. You couldn't hear it, but all of a sudden there's a breakthrough in your life, and all of a sudden there's this revelation that comes. Because most of what happens in our life is in increments. It's a process, right? Little by little, moment by middle, moment. You know, pound by pound, dollar by dollar. It's called growth in our life. We don't grow quickly. We don't grow quickly, but we grow incrementally in our spirit. Some of us spiritually grow quicker than others. And so it's hard to preach this sometimes because you have to be careful in how that this is preached, because if you're not careful, people won't understand what you're trying to say. But here's what happens. Sometimes we grow incrementally, but there are times when God all of a sudden moves in a supernatural way in our lives. And it's unexplained. Other than that, the Spirit of God has done it. See, you don't see it happening. But all of a sudden, you don't see that growth that is taking place in your life, and you don't see it from afar, but everybody else sees it. It's kind of like when you go back to that high school reunion after 30 years. Huh? Anybody ever done that? And you look at people, and they tell you your name, and you go, oh, wow, what a hard life. Huh? And you see people people who you cried, girls you cried over that you wish you could date in high school. Huh? You begged God to let her pay attention to you. You cried. You said, Lord, I'll go to church forever if you allow her to talk to me. Every one of you lying. Didn't even step the doors of church, begging God to bring her into your life. And all of a sudden, you go back to that high school reunion, and you go, oh, Lord, Jesus, Lord, thank you for not, thank you, Jesus, you have been good to me. Huh? I know that's right. You guys have been out of high school 5 years, you don't understand that yet, but I'm going to tell you, you will understand that. You will understand that. You'll get that revelation someday. All you girls, well, I wish that quarterback would have asked me out to date. Uh-huh. And then 30 years later, he's in San Quentin. Come on, y'all know it's right what I'm telling you. And we don't realize how much we have grown spiritually. We do not see it. But we grow at times incrementally. It's a process that God does in our life. And at times it's step by step, moment by moment. But there is possible to come to a place or a moment that something happens that's not incremental, but it passes through the stages of natural growth. And all of a sudden you leap from one place in your life. All of a sudden you're stepping into what used to separate you from God's purpose. Now the Spirit of God pushes you into the purpose of God, and it can happen just like that in a moment. It could be a prayer meeting. It could be a revelation in the Word of God, and all of a sudden, God takes you through a breakthrough or a process in your life that you never thought that you would ever get through or even get there. In one moment, everything begins to change, and there's a quantum leap that takes place in your life. The process leads us to the quantum change, but all of a sudden, it's like this. God said, march around Jericho 7 days. That was the process. But when they shouted, the walls came down. That was the quantum leap. The children of Israel went to bed at night. One night they were slaves in Egypt. But they woke up the next day and walked out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt on their back. Huh? In a night, God changed that thing. In a moment, they went to bed as slaves and woke up, and they're walking out of Egypt with the wealth of Egypt on their back, and their whole situation in life changed. Just like that. Jesus walks into a wedding and he tells them to fill the water pots up with water. They fill them up with water, and all of a sudden Jesus prays over and it goes from the water to the wine. There was no ferment process. There was no process of fermentation, which takes a period of time. That's a quantum leap. That's God by his Spirit invading your life and taking and removing the process and taking you from one situation to the breakthrough, to the miracle in your life, all in just a moment by the grace of God. He can change your situation. Ah, God can change it just like that. Change our country just like that. He can change your life just like that. Change that crazy wife of yours just like that. That goofy husband of yours that ain't living right. Just like that, God can make a quantum leap. And all of a sudden, one day they acted like a fool. And the next day, they've changed and God has worked that thing out. Huh? You go to work, your boss is all weird on you. Wishing you could leave and God give you. And all of a sudden, the next day, through prayer, you've been praying. And all of a sudden, God changed his heart towards your life. It's a quantum leap that takes place in our life. And God can do that in just a moment, just like that. In other words, we become incumbent on these things in the Word of God. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves, we have to sometimes be like the prophet. We have to stand in the midst of the absence of evidence and begin to speak change and abundance into our lives. We have to stand that sometimes when there is no evidence, nothing to point to, no reference point to look back on, and we have to believe God and trust God and go ahead and prophesy it anyway. I was in a meeting on Friday night, and I've been in many meetings on Friday nights. And I enjoy that. But something happened on Friday night that got a hold of me. And it got a hold of me. It stirred me. I've been acting weird all weekend. It's not the change either. So I ain't going to dye my hair and get a sports car. You don't have to worry about that. All these guys with sports cars are looking at me like, I didn't do that either. But it stirred my spirit. I'm sitting in a service on Friday night, and I'm listening to this incredible word that's being preached. And it got the stir in my spirit. It's something I've never heard before. It was an incredible revelation. And all of a sudden, at the end, I felt the spirit of conviction come into that room. And the spirit of conviction came into that room, and I'm sitting there, and I'm watching. All of a sudden, they give this altar call. And literally, I've not seen this in years. Woo! I've not seen it in years. And some of you old timers that have been in some old time Pentecostal meetings, you'll know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden, he gives this altar call. And people began to run to the altar. No, I'm not talking about, well, I'm coming down, I'm going to get prayed for. Hopefully. No, no. They ran to the altar. It wasn't a call to do better. It wasn't a call to be better. It wasn't a call to find the five ways of how to love my wife right. It wasn't about, I'm just going to try to do better. It was a call to get saved and to get your life changed. And they ran. And one girl ran by me, and I felt the breeze off of her run. I was like, whoa. And she belly dived on the altar. She had rug burns on her elbows and her arms, and right behind her was her mama. And she belly dived on the altar and just began to cry. And she turned to one of the men and she said, that's my daughter. I've been praying for her for 25 years. Woo! Hey! In a moment, in a quantum leap, God can change things. People were running to that altar. And I thought to myself, dear God. And I thought to myself, my goodness. I thought, in the absence, see, you walk into that building and there's the absence of anything like that could happen. And it's kind of like the prophet when he had called a drought and he stood and he said, there'll be no rain for 3 years, and there was no rain. And he spoke it. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord told him, tell him that it's going to rain again, that the rain's coming. And the prophet was obedient, and he stood up, and he said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. There wasn't a cloud in the sky. It was blue. The birds were tweeting. Huh? The honeybees were making honey. Y'all thought I'd think, see, y'all's mind, I have to correct y'all, because y'all's mind will go anywhere. They were making honey, Sam. They were making honey. Not a cloud in the sky. The sun was up, and the prophet says, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And he sent the servant out to look, and the servant went out, and he said, it's blue sky out here. And he came back and he said, there ain't no rain. Well, he sent him again. He looked and he said, there ain't no rain. He come back and said, listen, sometimes you got to stand in the midst of your situation as bad as it could ever get. And it does not look like God is working. And you don't see any evidence of change. And you don't see any evidence of progress or moving forward. And you don't see like God's working or moving, or you don't see a steady stream that something's going to change. And all of a sudden, all you've got is the Word of God to hang on to, is that God will answer your prayer, that God will do it as long as it's according to His Word. And you're standing there and you're prophesying. And you're saying, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. I hear a change coming in my situation. I hear a change coming in my marriage. I hear a change coming in my kids. I hear a change coming in my life, in my situation. And everybody keeps coming back and saying, it's still blue outside. It's still blue outside. It's still blue outside. But then on the seventh time, the scripture said the servant went out and he looked at it. And in the absence of nothing, he said all of a sudden, he began to see a cloud like a man's hand. And he said, I see the cloud. And all of a sudden he saw, and the Bible says, later on came the abundance of rain. And I'm here to tell you this morning, and I'm here to tell you as a congregation, I'm telling you, we've got eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man what God wants to do for you, what God wants to do for me, what God wants to do for River Valley Community Church. It has not been seen yet. But He will reveal it through His spirits. Huh? He'll reveal it through His Spirit. And we spend too much time trying to look in the natural eyes. And we say, well, there's no evidence of that thing. Listen, God spoke to me quantum. And I really believe that this coming week in these meetings that we're going to have, it's going to be like a quantum moment for this church. I'm prophesying that. You say, well, what evidence you got that that's going to happen? I don't have any evidence. But all I'm saying is, I can feel in my spirit the tug of the Holy Spirit. And I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And you can come in and look if you want to. You may not see it the first time. You may not see it the second time. But keep looking, because it's not noticed in the natural. It is spiritually revealed. I'm telling you, there's a revival that is coming to the city of Madison that the churches in this city will not be able to hold what God wants to do here. And it's happening right here. Right here. You can go ahead and live in doubt if you want to, but I'm believing it. I'm praying for it. I'm walking in it, and I'm not going to stop prophesying it until God begins to move on the people of this city. Why? God's getting ready to do a quantum leap in this church. We're getting ready to bypass some process. And God, believe God will take us from one point, point A to point B, just like that. Why? Not because we deserve it? No, it's because God is faithful. And the things that God does, He does in the Spirit. And it's not known in a natural man. You try to figure this out in the natural, you'll get a headache. Well, you're crazy, preacher. There ain't been a revival in this town for years. You're crazy. Churches don't get along. We're separated by denomination, separated by ethnic groups. We're separated by this and that. We fuss and we fight. We argue over whether or not you dunk them forward or you dunk them backwards. Huh? We argue whether you eat a cookie or you eat a wafer. We argue about whether or not the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. And it's funny that those who believe the spirits, the gifts of the Spirit have ceased. It's amazing how they call you when they need something. Huh? It's amazing how your number is on speed dial when they need a miracle. I don't have any evidence for it. But it's like the boy I told him on Thursday night that was out flying his kite. And he was flying his kite, and this big bully at school came along and said, "Hey, buddy, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm flying my kite." He says, "I don't see no kite up there." He said, "That kite is long gone." He said, "My kite ain't long gone." He said, "You look like a fool sitting there flying that kite. How do you know that kite is even there or even real?" He said, "Because every once in a while, I can feel the tug. And it's the evidence that it's there." Can I tell you, I know God's real, and I know that He's ready to move by His Spirit, because sometimes, Tim, I'll get in the Spirit, and I can feel the tug of the Holy Spirit, and I know God's there. I know He's real, and I know He wants to show up in our lives. I know that my Redeemer lives, and He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can imagine or think. Because that's the kind of God that He is. The prophet prophesied, there was no rain, no moisture, no evidence. To the point to where he couldn't see. Listen, a true prophetic word doesn't change because you don't see it at first when it's prophesied. Listen, what is a quantum leap in the Spirit? How does that happen? How do we allow that to happen in our lives? And I'm going to give you a couple of things. I'm telling you, God's getting ready to move in this area. And we've got to be ready as a church. There has to be unity. The Bible said when the Spirit of God fell on them in the upper room, it said they were in one accord. Not only were they in one accord, the Bible says that when cloven tongues of fire fell on them, it didn't fall on them corporately. It said it fell on each of them. Mm-hmm. See, a lot of times you think, I probably shouldn't go here on a day like today. But I can't help myself. A lot of times, well, number one, how does a quantum come? Number one, quantum leaps bypass the natural mind. The problem is we try to wrap our mind around something around something in the natural, but that can only be wrapped spiritually. A lot of times, sometimes you can't learn your way into a breakthrough. Sometimes you have to believe your way into a breakthrough. Having breakthrough sometimes doesn't come by what you've learned in the Scripture, but it comes by faith that ignites inside you. Eye have not seen, ear have not heard, but has been revealed by His Spirit. In other words, a lot of times, let me say it like this. Sometimes we come to church with this academia attitude. And we come and we learn about the Word of God, and all of that's fine. But we come in and we act as if God is the subject matter. As though we are investigating God to see if God is who He says He is. Right? And so we come in and we listen to the evidence and we try to determine in our mind whether or not God is who He says He is. And so we wrap our mind and try to use our mind in trying to understand all the things about God. And we wrap ourselves around the natural and we wrap ourselves around the natural things, and then we come to this CSI conclusion about God. And we plant it in our mind. But can I tell you, there are some things that come with God. There are some things that God brings to us that can only be revealed through the Spirit of God. There are some things that only are caught through the Spirit of God when it is revealed to us by His Spirit. It's like coming into church and you can know all the Greek words for praise. Yada. Right? You can know all those Greek words. You can know all the Greek words for worship and praise and know all of it. Study all about all, know all the Scriptures about praise. You can know all the Scriptures that talk about worship. You can quote Psalms 150 and quote all of these Psalms that deal with worship and have a head knowledge and stand toe to toe with anybody. But let me tell you something. It's not worship until it gets from here to here. It's not worship until it gets out of here and it gets in here. Because when it gets out of here and it gets in here, all of a sudden things get a little bit different. What is it to talk about a shout if you never shout? What is it to talk about praise if you never praise? What is it to talk and sing about dancing before the Lord if you've never danced and sang before the Lord? If it never gets from here to get to here, you'll never experience the quantum move of God in your life because you'll always stay in the natural. Can I give you a little bit of secret tonight, this morning? God wants to put a little bit of super in your natural. Huh? Ha-ha! And sometimes we become so natural, we forget about God's supernatural. And that God is a supernatural God. That God, listen, the Bible says God is Spirit, right? The Bible said He created you by His Spirit. Around you is Spirit. Do you ever think that maybe the thing that's holding you back is your natural? Huh? And maybe God wants to put a little bit of super in your natural. Listen, I believe in hard work. I've always had a work ethic in my life. I've always worked. I've always sought work. And I believe that there are some things, but listen, when you do work in the natural, you reap the work of the natural. See, you reap the work of the natural. But can I tell you, there are some situations and circumstances that don't take the time or the work that it takes to make change. Somewhere along the line, God has to intervene and he has to take this natural situation and add his super to it in order for you to get the breakthrough in your life. A lot of times the natural will reap the natural. But there are moments in my life, Gene. There are moments in my life, Tom. There are moments in my life, Jess, when I did what was natural and walked through the process. But there was a moment when I came to a wall when only if God kicked it in was I going to have breakthrough. And some of you can do whatever it takes naturally to put yourself in position for God to do something. And you've worked naturally. Whether it be your marriage or whether it be a job or whether it be a circumstance in your life. But somewhere along the line, you're going to need God's supernatural power to come down and quantum leap you from the natural into the destiny and the breakthrough that you need in your life. Yes! That's why it's important that there be unity in this body. That's why it's important. That when one thing happens to, when the fallen Spirit of God falls on this church, it just doesn't fall on one or two or a few. It falls on us all. And that it engulfs us all. It's a unity thing. It is a unity thing. I love what T.D. Jakes says. He says it like this. He said, the body of Christ is like a pulse. He said, I could stand there and put my hand right here on my arm. And I feel the pulse. Where's that pulse coming from? It's coming from the heart. He said I could sit down and take my hand and put it on the back of my leg. And I could feel the pulse of the heart. He said I could take my hand and put it on the side of my neck. Is that where the beat originates from? It doesn't. But the whole body is in rhythm with the heart. And the whole body is in rhythm with what the body's doing. And I want to tell you something. The heartbeat of God has to get in the center of everything we're doing. And as Corinthians says, we are the body of Christ. The hand can't say to the leg, I have no need of you. And the fingers can't say to the eyes, I have no need of you. And the leg can't say to the elbow, the arms, and the neck, I have need of you. I have no need of you. And we as a body have to walk in same step. We have to walk in tune with the heartbeat of what God is doing. And a disjointed body never accomplishes nothing. And a disjointed body will never accomplish what God wants it to accomplish. That's why, oh my, listen. I'll say it like this. 22,000 showed up to Gideon. And they were ready to go fight. God said, you got too many. Why did God say you got too many? He said, you got too many because they're not all in agreement with you. Oh my. All right. We're shifting gears here now. 5 minutes and I'm done. Listen. This is where the heartbeat of it is. He said, send most of them. Ask them who's afraid. He asked them who was afraid. And 12,000 of them said, I'm afraid. So he sent him home. Cut his army. Listen, lost half his church in one day. Even I haven't done that. Some of y'all sitting there, keep on preaching, preacher. Day's not over yet. Keep on. Then he said, you still got too many. Have them drink out of the river or out of the river. And those who drink one way, you keep. The others you send home. Gideon's like, God, what do you mean? Do you realize who we're fighting? Do you realize what's going on? Do you realize that we need everybody we can get? And then God, back of God's mind, God's saying, yeah, you can have numbers, but you don't have agreements. Oh, let me tell you something. We could fill this church till they're bleeding out the windows, till they're rolling out in the hallway. But if there ain't no agreement in this place, ain't nothing going to get done. It's just going to be a sideshow. It's just going to be some kind of freak show, just like a lot of churches. They do a lot of talk, but nothing gets done. Uh-huh. That's right. And that's the problem. We're more worried about the crowd than we are gathering together the crowd. And I'll tell you what I want. I don't know about you, and you can run me off if you want. But I'll tell you what I want. I want a bunch of people that are going to stand in agreement with the vision of what's taking place here and say, hey, we're in it with you. We're going to walk it through. We're going to go through. Because if it's not in agreement, if you're not in agreement, you're nothing but disjointed. You're handicapped. And nothing ain't going to get done anyway. And all of a sudden, all he had left was 300, Tim. Now here's the quantum leap. Woo! Y'all realize what agreement, when agreement comes and it gets past the mind and it gets into the spirit, what happens is you position yourself for a quantum leap. Because here's what happened. Gideon had the 300. He said, oh God, what am I going to do? God said, just do what I tell you to do. He said, get the lights, get the pitchers. And he said, start breaking the pitchers. And as they broke the pitchers, those 300 men, it made a sound like war. It sounded like an army that was coming that was bigger than they imagined. And the Bible said that they didn't even have to fight. The Bible said when they broke those pitchers, it made the sound of the war. And all of a sudden, those that was their enemy began to flee. Listen, he didn't need 22,000. He just needed 300. That was in agreement with God and in agreement with what God does. Listen, we don't need 2,000 or 2,500. We just need a few people that'll say, I want to get on board with God and finish what God wants to do. Huh? Then a quantum leap happened. They didn't even have to fight. Hey, how about getting into the places of church where there's some things? Oh, I wish y'all could feel what I feel inside this morning. I mean, from the bottom of my feet to the top of my head, I feel this. If I could get in agreement, a handful in agreement, a bunch in agreement with God and with His Word and believe this thing to the uttermost, to the end, to the day we go to be with the Lord. Just trust in this. If I can find some folks, oh my. He didn't even have to fight. Let me tell you this. There'll be some battles. There'll be some battles we won't even have to fight. You know why? Because the devil be so stinking scared of us, he'll turn and run the other way and won't even want to mess with us. Woo! Yeah! Woo! Ha ha! Glory to God. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. I have not seen, ear has not heard. It's only been revealed by His Spirit. And let me tell you what needs to happen with some of you. Every so often, God will come into a moment in our lives when God will do what you for you what you can't do for yourself. And I want to tell you, there's going to be moments in the history of this church in the years to come. There are going to be things God does for us that we don't deserve. And there's things that He'll do for us that we could not do for ourselves. But in order for Him to do it, we've got to put ourselves in the position to allow Him to do it. We've got to put ourselves in a position where there's agreement. In other words, we can't let our mind talk us out of the blessing of God. We can't let our minds talk you out of your miracle. You can't let a negative word that says, well, God just can't do it. God can do it. You can't say God won't do it. God will do it if it's His will. Well, it's just not the timing for God. Who's for you to say when the timing of God is? We've got to have the kind of faith that says we believe God bypasses the natural and can move in the supernatural pace of our lives. Ah! You know, I don't go to bed at night worrying about money. For this church, that's not what keeps me up at night. What keeps me up is agreement. The natural things God's got. I ain't worried about the money, what He calls us to do. Because if it's God's will, it becomes His bill, sweetheart. And it ain't nothing I can do to change that. Huh? No matter how you frame it, talk about it, I could put ads in the paper, I could sell bricks to build a building out there to all your loved ones, I could take offering after offering after offering, I could strip you down, pull you out, steal your wallet. But if it's not God's will, huh? If it's not God's will, then it ends up crashing. And the thing that keeps us from getting where we need to go at times is not the stuff that God brings to our life to fulfill it. Because that'll come. The brick and mortar will come. The people will come. I ain't worried about the people. The people will come. Let me tell you, just let the Spirit of God break out here and God touch and heal a few people. Let some cancer get healed in this place. Huh? Yeah. Let some supernatural things break out into this building. You won't have to advertise about church. They'll fill this building. That's a quantum leap. Just let God move in your life. Let the change happen in your life. And people at your job say, my God, what is different about you? And then all of a sudden, God will do the work. I want to close with this. Dear Jesus, Moses, the Bible said the children of Israel, their shoes did not wear out while they were heading toward the promised land. Of course, mine did this morning. But for 40 years, they didn't have to change their shoes, and their garments didn't wear out. And they didn't have to worry about food for 40 years because they were walking in agreement with God, and God took care of them. But there comes a time when God wants you to stop believing for shoes and garments and going out to eat and start believing for cities and neighborhoods. Huh? Start taking territory. Start being a voice. You think that we're on the radio just because I want to hear myself on the radio? I don't even like to listen to myself on the radio. I think I sound like a dork. You think we do that devotion on Tuesday morning on YGS because, you know, I want to get into the Columbus Dispatch or whatever it is? Or do you think why we have fireworks or why we do Hope Over Heroin or why we have crusades or why we do things that I know in the natural, you're like, why are we doing? Because there has to come a time when we stop believing God for just the things that affect us and start believing God to give us some things that are outside of this church. Give us influence at City Hall. Give us influence in the courts. Give us influence in this city. Give us influence in the schools. Let us have influence in the people that have come around and drive. Let them drive by this building and say, man, there's something taking place in there because it's spilled out from the church out into the streets. Huh? And the only way for that to happen is to realize that we got to be in one accord, moving to the same place. And God's getting ready to do that. And you know, for 2.5 years, 3 years that we've been a church, we've believed God to help us build this building. We've believed God for vehicles. We believe God for finances to do certain things. We believe God for a youth pastor. We believe God for a worship leader. We believe God for this. And we believe God for that. And it's all been internal. We believe God to meet our bills and give us favor. And we've given the missionaries and we've sowed from this church and we've blessed people. We've given more to people than what some churches would ever give. And we've sown into their lives. And we're not going to stop doing it. Because the blessing and the breakthrough that God has given us in three. Let me tell you, there's churches that stay in storefronts for 10 years. I know one. They've been struggling for 10 years to try to build a building. They can't get people to agree on what color of grape juice to use, whether clear or grape. So they're going to be in the storefront in a long time because they can't believe God to give them grape juice. And God's been good. He's blessed us. I mean, we've got things. I mean, if I could tell you when we were building this building, the breakthroughs that God gave us. The discounts that God gave us. People come in and bless us with something. Some things you all don't even know. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. Instead of charging you this, I'm going to charge you that. And people do things for nothing. And people work around here and give their time and their energy. And the blessing of God came in. And we knew we were headed in the right direction because God was leading that way. And, you know, we believe for this and that and, you know, playgrounds and basketball courts and God provides and that's all good. But it's time for a quantum leap for this church. And it's time for us to start impacting not just who's here, but who's out there. It's time for us to start reaching the colleges and start reaching the businesses and start reaching the drug addicts, and start reaching the homeless. I had one pastor told me he don't want to do Hope Over Heron because he don't want those people in his church. Let me tell you something. If I ever hear that come out of you, I will rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I'll tell you, find someplace else to go to church because this is not for you. Jesus did not just die for the wealthy. He didn't just die for the well-off. He didn't just die for white people or green people. He died for every man. Never, never will we say no to nobody. Never. Never. Never will we shut the door in the face of people who have need. We will never do it. Never will we do it. Because I'm not going to pastor a bunch of selfish people that can't see beyond their own needs and their own selfish needs. And I'll just be honest with you this one. There's some things you just got to get over. You just got to break through. I know Johnny John talked to you bad and you were mad because he didn't tell you like you should have been told. And you didn't get the soprano part in the choir. And you didn't get your way. Guess what? I don't always get my way. Right, honey? I'm waiting for the day we come in here on a Sunday morning and this place erupts and it gets so wild in the Spirit of God. You say, well, everything's got to be done decently and in order. That is order. When God starts, listen, sometimes for God to rebuild it again, the foundation has to be shaken. Sometimes some things have to be tore down and shook up and broke down before He can rebuild it again and put it back in order. But there's coming a day when we're coming in here and this place is going to be off the hook. And it's going to get wild, Rick. Because drug addicts are going to be in here. Homeless are going to be in here. There are going to be people in here that are so messed up they don't even know why they walked in here. There are going to be broken marriages and broken homes. There are going to be wealthy men that come in and their money's never satisfied them. And they're going to be searching for something different than some dead church some dead program, some dead system that's failed them over the years, and they've sat year and year after year in religious services and nothing's changed them, and they've walked in and out and they go in and out. A teenager come in here and he knows nothing about religious protocol, and he may have shorts on and his hair may be green, and he may have 55 piercings on his all over his head, and he may look like he's gonna, if a magnet came by, it'd blow his head off. They're not going to know your religious jargon and your little religious talk that you do. I'm telling you, they're just looking for something that is real, something that is God, something that'll make a change, something that'll transform them. They've been looking for it all along. But let me tell you, if the Spirit of God gets a hold of them, there's a quantum leap that takes place. And change comes when we yield to God. Not yield to a system. I'm not building a denomination, and I'm not building a system. This is a church where God is. Stand with me if you would. It's kind of like that. When Elijah was shut up in the city of Shechem, and he told the king when they were already eating their children because the famine was so bad. Could you imagine a famine that bad? You'd be besieged by a nation, and it got so bad you were eating your own children. And Elisha turned to the king, and he said, this time tomorrow, God's going to change this situation. And the Bible says an officer, some little measly mouse, negative Nelly, who was the king's right-hand man. God can't do that. God can't do that. God can't do that. God can't do that. And the prophet looked at him right in the eye and said, that's all right. God's going to do it, but you ain't going to see it. And that's what happens with people who won't get a hold of the vision and people who won't get on board with what God's doing. Always got something negative to say. Always got something negative to criticize. Well, you'll never see it. You know why you'll never see it? Because it's not revealed in the natural. It's revealed in the spirit. Eyes have not seen. Ears have not heard. The natural man don't understand the spiritual things of God. He only understands the natural. But the spirit man understands what the spirit is telling him. Adam, would you come? Guys, would you come? Some of you, you need a breakthrough this morning. No, matter of fact, I want to do this. I want everyone that can come to the altar this morning. I want you just to gather around this morning. I just want you to gather around. And I'm going to pray over you. I'm going to pray over you the blessing of God. And I'm going to pray over you that this week, this revival, this conference is going to change our church. It's really going to change the makeup of who we are. It's going to change the makeup of who we are. You say, well, how do you know that? I know it because I feel the tug. It's like flying a kite. I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. It's going to change us. It's going to change us. And some of you may not like the change. And some of you may not want to change. But that's all right. I love you. But we're still going on with God. We're still going to do what God calls us to do. But it's coming. I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And some of you, God is going to fall on you in this next week. And your lives are going to change in ways you never thought your lives would change. And let me tell you what I did. The first year we were here, I brought everybody that was apostolic and prophetic through here. I brought Cletty. I brought Bob Summers. I brought Bob Rogers. I brought men in here that were prophetic. Apostolic, Tim Story, Tommy Bates. You know why I brought those men in here? Because they're apostolic. They can look at a church and they can see where it's going. They're men with vision. They're men that have the ability to see, the ability to know what the Spirit of God is doing and what the Spirit of God is saying. They can look at the condition of a church, and because of that apostolic gift that's on their life, they can tell in an instant what's going on and what needs to change and how God's leading and directing. And then the Lord told me to start bringing some prophets in here. So I brought Brother Harkey here, because I needed you to hear what the prophet was saying, and what the prophet was saying to your life, and what he was saying to us as a church. And I remember every word that he spoke over this church and what he said. And I didn't see it or hear it. And I couldn't believe. It's hard to believe some things, because sometimes we take them as cliche, or the prophetic as cliche. But let me tell you, when I saw them people running to that altar this week, the people getting saved, took me back to the morning that I gave my life to Christ. And the hunger that was in my heart for change. And it broke me to see that young girl dive at the altar, because everything in her life up to that point had no value. It had failed her. It had failed her. It had failed her. And my heart broke, because here's someone who's 20-something years old, and she's walked through half her life, and the disappointment of what she's walked through has not been satisfying for her. But the joy that was in my heart, that her hunger to run to the altar like they ran, and them young kids running to the altar, it took me back again to where it birthed a fire and a hunger in my heart to see the Spirit of God to move again and to move on His people again. And I want God to move in this church. I want God to move on you. And I want God to give you everything you deserve in God. And I want the best for you. And I want the best for this body. And I want the best for what we're doing. And I told God Saturday, I said, God, I'll give you everything that's in me. Everything that's in me to see a move of the Spirit of God in this church. I'll give my right arm, I'll give my leg to see God transform this church. And you, and some of you who are struggling through things, to see the breakthrough come in your life, I would give anything to see you free. I'd give anything to see you walk in victory, to see your marriages be strong, to see your lives be strong, to see your children get breakthrough, to see your business to grow and to flourish. And I'm just overwhelmed this morning. And it seems so big and so much. And I think about, you know, Hope Over Heroin. I think about those thousands of people that will be down there on that. I mean, how? You know, a girl walked in here two Thursdays ago. Has nothing. She's hitchhiking. Life, it made her, she's almost insane. She was demon possessed. She had nothing. She wanted a hotel room to shower in and to change her clothes in. But she didn't start there. She started somewhere by opening the door in her life to something that brought. But this is where she is. But we gave her a hotel room, and the next day we drove her down to the truck stop in Scottsburg, or down to let her off where she could hitch a ride. And that's fine. As a church, we need to do that. Let me tell you something. But there's coming a day when somebody walks through that door, and there's a demon attached to it, they're not just going to leave with a hotel room and a full belly. They're going to leave free. Broke through. Broke through. Broke through. Free. 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 I mean free. Just lift your hands and let me pray over you. Father, we pray this morning. I pray that the spirit of Elijah would come upon this church. that, Father, that we'll be able to believe God in the absence of evidence, to believe God for rain. When the sky is blue, God, we'll believe God for whatever you say. If God, you tell us to go right, we'll go right. If you say go left, we'll go left. You say go forward, we'll go forward. And we're going to believe God for every area of our lives. And I pray for this generation and some of these young people, that God, that you'll get a hold of them, that revival will come so that they can have a reference point in their life of revival. May revival come to this body and this church. I feel the tug of the Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray that by your Spirit you'll come down and touch us and move upon this body. That you'll come and fill us with your Spirit and lead and guide us into all truth. And I pray anyone that's here, that's sick in body this morning, I pray healing upon them right now. I pray the blessing of God and breakthrough and anointing and freedom and deliverance right now upon their lives. I pray destiny be birthed in them and hope and strength for a new day. And the hour of the release of your Spirit is now. And we receive all that you have for us, that you'll continue to move and work in our lives and our homes. God, we will believe you and trust you for everything that is in our lives. So Holy Spirit, come on us. As we lift our hands as a sign of surrender, and a sign of hope, a sign of breakthrough, a sign of the joy of the Lord would be upon us.